This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word. I believe God has given us this book so I can live a victorious Christian life. Not just when I die, but right now, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want you to open your Bibles with me, please, to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, and when you get there, say amen. That way I will know that you are there. Matthew chapter 16. The mighty God we serve, angels bow before him. You know, if the angels bow before him, you know what we should be doing. Amen. The Bible says the earth is filled with his glory. Amen. Matthew chapter 16 at verse number, we're going to start with verse number 13. Verse number 13. Matthew 16, 13, the Bible says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some say that you are Elijah the prophet and other prophets. Others say you are Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. He said unto them, but whom say you that I am? Y'all see what Jesus did there? First of all, he asked a question about they. And then he said, but what about you? Are y'all still with me? I bet their eyes got big as a Coca-Cola bottle, as they used to say when I was young. Amen. Who do you say? Amen. So this message is the second part of a message I started last week. Don't be alarmed, because if you were not here, I will bring you up to date. Amen. And the message is also on YouTube and Facebook. Okay? This is the second part of a message I started last week called Refreshings from Above. Refreshings from above. Y'all still with me? Refreshings from above. Amen. And my focus last week, okay, my focus last week was on the fact that many Christians fail to realize how good the Christian life is. They fail to realize how happy we should be about this Christian life. They fail to realize how successful they can be because of this Christian life. And they fail to realize it because of the many troubles, trials, tribulations, persecutions, and problems that they run into in this world. Are y'all still with me? And although many Christians, they talk about being victorious. Well, we're victorious through Christ Jesus. I'm the head, not the tail. I'm above, not beneath. I can do all things through Christ. They talk about it, but how many of you know that in many cases, their actions show something totally different? Their actions show something totally different. And listen to this. And eventually, their mouth started to catch up with their actions. The mouth, how many know the mouth can run? I mean, you hear the old saying, stop running your mouth, right? So the mouth starts to catch up with their actions. The same people who say, Jesus is Lord, all by himself, I'm a child of the Most High, I can do all things through Christ. But when they start facing these trials, tribulations, problems, persecutions, troubles, their actions show something totally different, and eventually their mouths start to catch up with their actions, and they start saying things like, the Christian life is hard. My life was better off before I became a Christian. I mean, ever since I became a Christian, Satan's been riding my back, and he's been attacking my family ever since. Well, I want to take this opportunity to welcome you all to the club. Because if you are not being attacked by Satan, that means he already has you. Are y'all still with me? But we focus more on what Satan is doing than who God is. Y'all still with me? And the bad thing about it when they go through these trials and tribulations is that they start to blame God. I mean, the main people who say, Jesus is the Lord, God, I can do all things through Christ, he's my Savior, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, the righteous run to it and are safe. The same people that quote the scriptures are the same ones who start blaming God when they find themselves in these tough worldly situations. Are y'all still with me? Amen. But see, what they don't realize is this. They do not realize the fact that Satan, the enemy, has already placed a yoke of bondage spiritually around their neck, or he is attempting to do so. That's why you're being attacked. He is trying to place a yoke of bondage around your neck, or he has already done it. Why? Because I've said a million times since we've been in this ministry, we all are engaged in a spiritual warfare. And there are things going on in the spirit world that you can't see with your natural eye. But we can see the results of those things going on in the spirit world with our natural eye, because they are affecting us either mentally, spiritually, physically, or all three. Y'all still with me? And we start to blame God. I mean, he's the one that we say is good. God is good. Well, if God is good, why are we blaming him when we find ourselves in these trial, tribulated situations? And then when people start to blame him, they blame him, they start to separate themselves from him. Are y'all still with me? They blame him, and then they start to separate themselves from him. They pull away. But how many of you know? Jesus has the answer to the trials, tribulations, trouble, problems that we face in life. He had the answer. Y'all still with me? And the answer that Jesus has given to us is the answer that if we follow his instructions, we will be released from this heavy, burdened, spiritual yoke that Satan has around some of our necks. See, because we can't see this yoke with the natural eye, we think God is doing some things to us. No, it's not God. The enemy is trying to slow you down. He's trying to slow me down. He's trying to get us to not focus on God. He wants us to focus on the situations we find ourselves in. But Jesus has given us the answer to how to overcome these spiritual yokes. You can't see them with the natural eye. They are spiritual. I want you, please, to go with me to Matthew chapter 11. And this is where we started last week, actually. Don't worry, we're going to come back to Matthew chapter 16 later on. But I want you to go with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Are y'all still with me? Amen. Because Jesus says some things here. I know we looked at this last week, but like I said, I got to catch people up who are not here. Jesus, and Bible also say faith comes by hearing, so it's good to hear it again. Jesus said to them last week, well, he said to us last week, he said to them a long time ago. Look at verse number 27. Look at what he said in verse 27. He said, are you all there yet? Because, you know, I get in the fast lane, you know, like I used to drive when I was in Germany. I'd be like in the left lane. Y'all still with me? He said in verse 27, he said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Do y'all see that? He said, all things. What's all things? Thank you. All good things. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. And then he said in verse number 28, excuse me, I had to cough. Don't worry, I don't have COVID. Amen, amen, amen. Just a sneeze. He said in verse 28, look at what he said. He says, come unto who? Me. He's talking about those who have these yokes. Come to me, all you that labor. I told you last week the word labor means tired and fatigued, okay? And are heavy laden. In other words, overburdened, okay? He says, come to me and I. Y'all see that? He said, I. How many know I means he's talking to himself, about himself. He says, come to me and I will give you what? Rest. Now that's Jesus talking. It's in red. He says, come to me. Now notice what he didn't say. I told you many times before, I like to sometimes read what the Bible does not say. Because when I read what it does not say, it helps me to better understand what it does say. He didn't say go to your best friend. He didn't say go to your supervisor. Now, I mean, it's all right to talk to people, but don't expect them to change your situation. He didn't say go ask your neighbor. He says, come to me. Y'all see that, right? He says, come to me and I will give you what? Rest. Now, some people go to Jesus, but they look for the rest from someone else. Y'all still with me? He says, come to me. He's making it personal. He said, come to me and I will give you rest. Now, I mentioned to us last week that that word rest means to repose or to refresh. To repose or to refresh. Once again, the title of the message is called Refreshing from Above. That word means to repose or to refresh. Well, what, Pastor, does repose mean? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. That word means, repose means a state of rest, a state of sleep, and a state of calmness. Notice that word calmness. Because people start going through stuff, boy, you think that their hair was on fire. They be all, no, calmness. Be calm. Don't stress out. Just be calm. He said, come to me, and I will help you to be calm. Are y'all still with me? The word also means to refresh. Listen, that word refresh means, it means, number one, to give, y'all ready? New strength. In other words, when you're overburdened, when you're going through things, you don't even have any strength. Remember, we was looking at King David a few weeks ago, you know, when they went to the town of Ziklag and took his wives and all the people. The Bible says they were so low that he couldn't even, he cried out all his tears, couldn't even cry no more. I mean, he was really weak spiritually. He was weak mentally and physically. But you know, it's amazing that when something bothers you mentally, it all also affects us physically. I mean, people have so much on their mind sometimes, they don't even get out of the bed. Because it's also affecting their body. But Jesus said, come to me and I will give you new strength or energy. That's what he's talking about. Energy. Because sometimes we go through trials and tribulations in life, they drain us. But he says, come to me and I will give you rest. In other words, I will refresh you by giving you new energy and new strength. I will repose you, okay, by giving you rest, because what it means, a state of rest, sleep, and calmness. Don't you know when you are asleep, you're not thinking about anything? How many of you think about things when you sleep? Well, how do you know? Because you be asleep. So it's like a state of calmness. And you might have, you dream. I mean, people be dreaming about $1 million falling from the sky and all that stuff because all they think about is money. Y'all still with me? Amen. But you're in a state of calmness. And Jesus said, when you're going through these tough things, like in Christians, it doesn't matter what the thing is. It doesn't matter how tough it is. It doesn't matter how rough it is. He says, come to me and I will give you rest. In other words, I will refresh you. That's what he's saying. Now, this is Jesus talking. I mean, this is the one that we accepted as Lord and Savior, isn't he? Isn't he the one that we laid down our old life for? So if he says, come to me, then why don't people go to him? I'll tell you why in a few minutes, if you stay with me. Are y'all still with me? So he says, come to me and I will give you rest. And then in verse 29, he says, take my what? Yoke. I mentioned to us last week, there are two kinds of yokes. And we need to be careful which one we're taking. Because there's a yoke of bondage and there's a yoke of freedom. And that word yoke in the natural is a wooden bar that they used to put on the necks of oxen so they to connect them together so they could plow the field. And those yokes were heavy. Now, I got a special bonus for you all this morning because I want the audio team to bring up that picture of that yoke, please, so they can see it. Y'all see that? You see that wooden bar around the oxen? That's a heavy yoke. Y'all still with me? And notice that those oxen are not laughing. They're not talking. They are miserable. Why? Because they are connected together, and wherever one go, the other one have to go, whether he want to go or not. Y'all see that? That's a yoke. But that's not a spiritual yoke. That's a natural yoke. Or a material yoke. But they're still not happy. And see, what Satan don't try to do to us, he try to put a spiritual yoke around our neck to connect us to him. Because he's miserable, he want to make us miserable. Y'all still with me? And a lot of people walking around, Christians, the ones who are saved by grace, walking around, looking just like the oxen, head down, singing songs like nobody knows the trouble I've seen. All that negative talk. Why? Because they don't realize that they have a spiritual yoke around their neck. Why? Because Satan's trying to take them out by any means necessary. Are y'all still with me? But Jesus said, come to me when you have a yoke around your neck. When you are tired, weary, heavy laden, overburdened, whether it's mentally, spiritually, or physically, he said, come to me and I will refresh you. Are y'all still with me? He said, take my yoke. In other words, the yoke that you have, he said, you don't need that one. You don't need the yoke of bondage. You need the yoke of freedom. In other words, he's saying, take my yoke because my yoke connects you to me. Y'all still with me? He said, take my yoke and upon you and learn of me. Are y'all still with me? When you take Jesus' yoke, one thing that you will learn about him is that He tells us in verse 30, he said, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's a bondage, that's a yoke of freedom, not the yoke of bondage. Now, you know, because God, the Bible tells us, God says, "I've set before you death and life, blessing and cursing." He says, "Choose life." So we have a choice. I mean, if you want to continue to walk around with Satan's yoke around your neck, it's your choice. Because people will walk around with their yoke around their neck just so someone would feel sorry for them. "Well, you know, I'm going to pray my strength in the Lord." No, pray your own strength in the Lord. Christians don't want to do anything. That's the one. Just pray your own strength in the Lord. Your choice. We can walk around with the yoke of bondage or the yoke of freedom. And the only way that we will be able to walk around with the yoke of freedom is that we have to go to Jesus. He says, "Come to me and I will give you rest. I will refresh you." Not just mentally or physically, but mentally, physically, and spiritually. He will give you new strength. He will give you new energy. He will make you calm. He will allow you to sleep good at night instead of tossing and turning all night long. When I woke up last night at 3 o'clock in the morning, I was so hungry. I've never been awake. I mean, I woke up hungry. Hunger woke me up this morning at 3 o'clock. That's good. Who said that? I was so hungry, I wanted to go cook some noodles, but I didn't want to wait that long. Y'all pray. I told y'all I need prayer. That's why I tell y'all to come up with intercessory prayer. I said, "Well, I just eat an apple. I ate the apple. I ate an apple like I never ate one before." Went back to bed and slept like a baby. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. Okay, back to the word. Amen. Pray for me. Amen. Amen. So he said, amen. We'll look at what else Jesus says. He said, "Take my yoke," verse 29, "upon you and learn of me, for I am meek," gentle, "and lowly in heart," humble, "and you shall find refreshing," or rest, "unto your soul." Don't you know that word soul comes from a Greek word, psuche, P-S-U-C-H-E. And that word psuche, you know what it means? It means your inner self, your life, all of yourself. In other words, you will find rest in every area of your life, mentally, physically, and spiritually, if you come to him. Okay? So the only criteria for receiving the yoke of freedom is to come to Jesus. There is no other way, Christians. We have to go to Jesus. Listen, there is no back door. The Bible tells us in John chapter 10 that he who goes into the place by any other means other than going through the door is a thief and a robber. Jesus is the door. We have to go through him. I mean, after all, we're Christians, right? If you're not one, you can be one today. But he says, "Come to me." But instead of people who have these spiritual yokes from Satan around their neck, instead of going to Jesus, they get further and further away from him. They stop going to church. They stop praying like they used to. They stop reading the Bible like they used to. They stop meditating on the word like they used to. They get further away from God. And how many of you know that the further we get away from God, the closer we get to Satan? And that's exactly his plan. That's exactly why he is attacking us like he do, because he wants us to separate from God. He wants to separate us from our faith in God, because he knows that if he separates us from our faith in God, he can tell us anything and we will believe it. Doing exactly what he wants us to do. That's why Jesus said, oh, you need to come to me. The Bible says, draw closer to God, he'll draw closer to us. Well, guess what? If we go further away from him, we're getting closer to Satan. That's just the way it is. And the reason why people go away from God is because they have never, ever really taken the time to learn about him. They have heard about him, but they haven't taken the time to learn about him. Y'all still with me? And because they have not taken the time to learn about him, when they go through these trials and tribulations in life, and they go through things, they blame God. They think God is putting those things on them. They blame God. Lord, why are you doing this to me? I don't deserve this. Why couldn't you put it on Elder Bond John instead of me? Why, God? Why? We're asking these questions. And if we really knew who Jesus was or know who he is, we wouldn't blame him. He is not the one that's putting these things on us. He's the one that's trying to take these things from us. But he's not going to force himself. He needs our permission. Because God has given us choices in life. He's not going to force himself on us. God, why do you let this happen? No, you let it happen. And people start blaming God, and in some cases, they start accepting it. What I'm going through is rough, but I know the Lord. He ain't going to put no more on me than I can bear. That's not scriptural. That's something man made up because it sounds good. I call it church talk. You know, there's a lot of church talk out there that help people to get into spiritual bondage. God ain't going to put no more on me than I can. But God is not putting anything on us. The Bible says Jesus came to set us free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. We saw a verse last week in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus, the Bible says Jesus came. The purpose of him coming was to destroy the works of the devil. In other words, loose us and set us free from the works of the devil. He's not putting anything on us. But because people don't know him and they don't want to say anything bad about him, well, you know, he's just making me sick because I'm tired and he wants me to rest. What? The Bible says Jesus Christ died for our infirmities and our sicknesses. If he wanted us to be sick, why would he die for our sicknesses and by his stripes we're healed? See, Christians, that's why we need to study the Word. Because when we start studying the Word, we'll find out, man, they told me God did that. God didn't do that. But if we don't know any better, we're going to believe everything somebody say. Think I'm joking? Ask the internet. God is putting this on me, and I know he's not going to put no more on me than I can bear. Go with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's clear that lie up right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. See, we're in a knowledge ministry. This is a teaching ministry. I know a lot of people, like different, amen. They call it preaching, but it's a lot of yelling. Amen, amen, amen. I'm not talking about anybody when they're not teaching. But it's a teaching ministry. But look what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Because, see, the Bible says people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. See, Satan doesn't even care if you feel good in church. He just don't want you to learn anything. He don't want you to learn. Are y'all ready? Look at verse number 13. Let's start with verse 11. It says, now all these things, because Paul in the gang was talking to the church at Corinth, and he was sharing some things about him, about, don't tempt Jesus, and just all different things. Talking to idolaters. And he said in verse 11, he says, now all these things happened to them for examples. Talking about the things that happened to the people back in the Genesis, Exodus, way back in the time. He said, now all these things happen to them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, unto whom the ends of the world are come. He says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In other words, you better be on God. You might think you all that, but when you fall, it's going to be a heavy fall. And then he says in verse 13, y'all ready? God is tempting me. He's testing me. Are you ready? There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to who? Man. That means you're not the only one going through something. That means it's common for mankind to be tempted. The Bible tells us that Jesus was tempted at all points, as we are, yet without sin. Don't you know that Satan tried to tempt God as well? He told God, if you remove the hedge away from Job, he'll curse you to your face. I mean, that's just what he does. He just tempts. Y'all still with me? It says, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who would not allow you, that word suffer means to allow you to be tempted above that you are able. Allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation, the trial, the test, with the temptation, he will also make a way to do what? Escape, so that you may be able to bear the temptation. God will make a way of escape. God is not tempting us, but he will make an escape for us to get out of the temptation. And he's already made the way of escape. And the way of escape, Jesus just told us how to get out of it. He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. No, nowhere in that series of scripture does it say God is putting anything on us. But he said, when we are tempted, he will make a way of escape so we can be able to bear the temptation until our deliverance comes. That's where the faith comes in at. Now stay with me. I know you don't see that, but I'm going to show it to you later on in another scripture. See, so God is not doing the tempting. Not evil temptation. That's not of God. Y'all still with me? But Pastor, that scripture don't say that. It did say that. But see, some people, instead of meditating on what the scripture says, they want to see it like, I just want to see it. I want the Bible to say it just like I think it. That's why you need the Holy Spirit. You know, the teacher, the guide. See. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Right after the book of Hebrews. James 1. See, I have to show you in scripture, because see, I don't like to just say stuff. I want you to see it. That's why this is a teaching ministry, because a lot of times, people go to church and the preacher say something, and people are like, amen, Pastor, you're right. They've never seen it. But if we see it ourselves in the book of life, the word that we need to live by, then we know that it's there. Pastor Ron, I'm not making it up. So you can't believe me. You have to believe the word. Are y'all still with me? I want you to look at verse number 12, James 1. Are you still with me? Look at what it says here. It says, blessed is the man that do what? Endureth temptation. In other words, remain or stay. Stand. You know, the Bible tells us to stand. And after you have done all to stand, then stand. Are y'all still with me? It says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. Well, how do I endure temptation? Well, how many of you know, I'm going to tell you a little later on, but not right now. He says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Are y'all still with me? Look at verse number 13. It says, let no man say when he is tempted. Y'all ready? Do y'all see that? Let no man say when he is tempted, he's in a trial or he's going through a test. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot, y'all see that? God cannot be tempted with what? Evil. Anything that's on you to try to steal, kill, destroy you is evil. That's not of God. It's a God cannot be tempted with evil. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? Death, the spiritual death. Spiritually separated from God. But wait a minute, Pastor. If God is not doing the tempting, the trials, and the testing me with evil to take me out, if he's not putting it on me, then who is? I mean, you all have some great questions today. Because we're going through trials and tribulations, troubles, persecutions in this world, and if God is not doing it, then who is doing it? Well, I can tell you who's doing it. The adversary. Satan. The same one who's trying to steal, kill, and destroy you. Well, Pastor, I ain't never seen it in the Bible. Well, the Bible calls him the tempter. You know, I'm not going to go there for the sake of time, but in Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was led of the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, the Bible says in the same series of scripture, Matthew 4, 1 through 4, it says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. That's temptation. That was Satan that came to him. You can read it when you get home for homework this week. He said, the tempter. So God is not the tempter. Satan is the tempter. And when you're going through these trials and tribulations with this heavy burden, with this yoke around your neck, God is not putting it on you. That's the enemy. But Jesus had the answer. He said, if you want it to be removed, he said, come to me. Come to me. And I will give you rest. Not run away from me. Not run away as fast as you can and get as further away from me as you can. He said, come to me and I will give you rest. But how many of you know, if you really don't know him, you might not want to go to him because you might not trust him. And that's the reason why a lot of people who call themselves Christians, when they go through trials and tribulations, they go to everyone else except Jesus because they don't really know him like we should as Christians, and they don't believe that he could give us rest. They don't believe he could remove that yoke from our neck. They don't believe it. And that's why they do not go to him. Listen to this. I mentioned this last week. Don't you know that many people do not really know him, and they do not realize that our success or lack of in this world is based on our view of who Jesus really is. Now, I didn't say your auntie's view or Uncle Leroy's view. I said your own view. Y'all still with me? People say, well, you know, my daddy was a preacher. So? My aunt was a this. So? What about you? We can't live off of Auntie Am's faith. The Bible says your faith. Y'all still with me this morning? Depending on who Jesus is to me, depending on who Jesus is to you, will determine whether or not you and I go to him in time of troubles. Depending on who he is to us. He might be something to one person, it might be something to someone else. But depending on who he is, we'll determine whether we go to him when we have trouble. And many Christians, you know who he is to them because they don't even go to him. Are y'all still with me? Regardless of the Bible's view of who Jesus is, the Bible tells us everything we need to know about Jesus Christ. Right here in the B-I-B-L-E. You know the one where y'all said, this is my Bible, this is the true word of God, the word of God, this one. And depending on who he is to you will determine whether you go to him in time of trouble. So the question is, who is he to me and who is he to you? Take it personal. Who is he? I mean, is he just Mary's little boy? Is he just the guy who was born in the manger? Is he just the guy who shows up on Sunday mornings? Who is he to you? Is he just Joseph's son? Are y'all still with me? Is he just the guy that died on the cross? I mean, a lot of people died on the cross, but is he just one of those people? I mean, who is he to you? Is he just the guy that we go to when we want something? Who is he to you? You know, people talk about Jesus and they get into these old crazy, stupid debates. People always talk about what color Jesus was. Well, he wasn't white, he was black. Well, he wasn't black, he was blue. Listen, Christians, you hear this from me. I don't care if the man is pink. He died on the cross for me. Don't get wrapped up into all that mess out there. And most people who talk like that, they're not even saved. They're just looking for somebody to argue with. Argue with yourself. Look in the mirror and argue with your own self. So who is it to you? Because depending on who he is, it's going to determine whether we go to him or not. I mean, if I don't think he can do anything for me, he can say, come to me all you want, and I ain't going to him. If I don't think he's who the Bible says he is. Well, it's the same problem that the disciples ran into in Matthew chapter 16, where we started. I want you to go back to there. Matthew 16. Are y'all all right? Matthew 16. Let's go back. Because Jesus asked them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, is? Y'all still with me? And they said unto him in verse 14, I'll give you all a second to get there. It's on the screen as well. Matthew chapter 16, verse 14. Are y'all ready? They, verse 14, they said, some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah the prophet. Some say that you are Jeremiah the prophet. Or one of them other prophets out there. This dude told me years ago, he said, man, Jesus, he was just like a prophet like everybody else. I said, I see why you lost. Amen. I used to get sarcastic, but, you know, I learned, you know, I grew spiritual over the years, you know. Because I used to look for a debate. I'm telling you, man, I used to look for it. But see, I've grown now. Amen, amen, amen. He said, some. And then he said, well, who do you say that I am? See, that's what matters. It doesn't matter what I say. The question is what you say. Because depending on who is to you will determine whether or not you go to him or not. The Bible says, and Simon Peter, verse 16, answered and said, thou art the Christ. Notice what he didn't say. He didn't say your name is Jesus Christ. He didn't say Christ is your name. He said Christ is who you are. He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. He's not talking about a building. He's not talking about a building. He's not talking about a building. He's talking about the body of Christ. On this rock I will build my church, Peter, because the name Peter means rock. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Y'all still with me? He said, based on the fact of the revelation that was revealed to you, Peter, from God the Father, because there's no way you would have known it yourself, but God revealed it to you, Peter. And based on that revelation, I'm going to build my church. Y'all still with me? But Pastor, what are you trying to get me to say? What I'm trying to get you to see is this. That word Christ means the anointed one. The anointed one. Peter said, you are the anointed one. Now, Christians, all throughout the Old Testament, I don't know if you knew to know this or not, but the road to the Old Testament leads to the coming of Jesus. Everything that happened in the Old Testament, from Genesis all the way to Matthew, led to the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. Y'all still with me? And now God revealed to Peter that, yeah, he's the Messiah. And Peter said, you are the Christ, the anointed one. Now notice what Peter didn't say. Once again, he didn't say your name is Christ. Because you ask people, what's Jesus' last name? Oh, Christ. That's not his last name. That's who he is. No, notice what the Bible did not say. Notice the Bible said he has the anointing, in which he does. But the Bible didn't say he has the anointing. It said he is the anointed one. In other words, he's able to remove burdens and destroy yokes. Because he is the anointed one. Are y'all still with me? He said, there are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, very quickly, I'm going to talk a little bit about the anointing. Not long. I'm going to teach another lesson on this, probably on a Wednesday night in detail. But I want to mention this because a lot of Christians don't even know what the anointing is. I mean, they throw the word around like it's a yo-yo. I mean, if someone can sing very good, oh, that's an anointed person. Maybe they're just talented. If a person can pray loud, oh, that's an anointed prayer. If a person, oh, they are anointed. They are anointed. Oh, I told, oh, they are anointed. People don't even know what it is. But once again, it's church talk. It sounds good in church. Brother, you just anointed. Now, very quickly, I got 10 minutes. Let me talk about the anointing. In the Old Testament, they used to anoint people with oil. And the word anoint means to just rub oil on. Y'all still with me? And a lot of people think the oil is anointed. But the anointing means to rub. And a lot of times in the Old Testament, they did it for ceremonial purposes. You know, when God set people aside, like, you know, the prophets, the priests, and the kings, they would anoint them with the oil because God had already anointed them spiritually. Y'all still with me? Even in church today, sometimes when people come up, you know, we put anointing oil on them because it was symbolic of the Holy Spirit back in the Old Testament as well. So the oil was used for different things. But when it's talking about Jesus being the anointed one, it's not talking about oil. See? But church people throw that word around. I'm gonna teach a lesson on a Wednesday night. Y'all gotta come because, you know, well, I ain't gonna get into that. Amen. But if you wanna know, you need to come. But we need to stop throwing the word around like it's a yo-yo. Do some studying on your own instead of going by what people say. Man, I can play the keyboard real good. Or that's an anointed keyboard player. Maybe they just gifted. Y'all still with me? Welcome to Word of Knowledge Ministries. Amen. Y'all still with me? But he said the anointed one. In Jesus' case, they are not talking about oil. They're not talking about rubbing oil. They're talking about anointing. And the anointing is divine power from God that's able to remove burdens and destroy yokes. That's why Jesus said, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Because there is power in the anointing. Divine power from God. Now, I'm going to show you something. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 10. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about here. Isaiah chapter 10. Stay with me. I'm almost done. Amen, amen, amen. Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. Amen. I got to speed up. I got 8 minutes. I know y'all keep me on my time, too. Amen. Y'all, amen. Amen. I just thank God I control the clock. Amen. Still try to be obedient to my own timeline. Y'all still with me? So the children of Israel, the northern kingdom, they went in exile to the Assyrians because of their rebellion towards God. You know, they kept, you know, going against his word. And God wanted to let them know that, yeah, you're going into exile. You're going into captivity. You're going into bondage. But I'm going to release you. Y'all still with me? And look at what the Bible says here in Isaiah chapter 10. He's talking about what's going to happen when they get there. Look at verse 26. He says, and the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian and the rock of Oreb. Don't worry about all of that. And as I'll teach that another time. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. In other words, God said, yeah, you're going to go through some things with the Assyrians, but I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to take care of the Assyrians. The same ones that I used to put you in bondage or to allow you to go into bondage, because you allowed yourself, because of your disobedience, he said, I'm going to take care of them as well. And look at what verse number 27 says. It said, and it shall come to pass in that day, that had not come at that time, that, talking about the Babylonians, his burden, y'all see that? His burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be what? Destroyed because of the what? He's not talking about oil. The burden and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the what? Anointing. That burden removing, that yoke destroying power of God that nothing can stand up against. It doesn't matter how big the yoke is, how heavy the burden is, The anointing will destroy it. Because he can't stand up against the anointing. Are y'all still with me? And Jesus is the anointed one, full of the anointing. And that's why he said, when you're going through these trials and tribulations, situations and circumstances, he said, come to him and he'll give you rest. Otherwise, we need to connect to him. Because listen to this. Are y'all ready? I'm almost done. I have 5 minutes. Don't you know? Are you ready? Are you sure? Don't you know that if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the anointed one, don't you know that you are also anointed with special power from on high? Not the oil, but the power of God. But see, what you have to do is when you're dealing with stuff, you got to connect yourself to Jesus. Because we are anointed because of Jesus. See, when we walk around trying to put somebody on a pedestal, oh, you are anointed. That's anointed, brother. Guess what? You are too. I'm going to show you in the Word. I got 4 minutes to show you. That's why I always say you have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. Well, the enemy riding my back. Throw him off your back. Throw. The Bible says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because he can't stand up against the anointing. I'm getting ready to close. I got 3 minutes and 50 seconds. Go with me, please, to 1 John. 1 John, chapter 2. Not St. John, but 1 John. 1 John, chapter 2. You're anointed because of Jesus. And Christian, the anointing is the anointing. But Christians base it on goosebumps. Somebody falling, oh, they're anointed. The anointing was all over them. Maybe they're acting. Talked about that last week. Man, the anointing was all, the anointing, listen, the anointing threw them on the floor. North ain't going to throw nobody on the floor. When you're under the anointing, you can hit your head on that pole and your head won't even hurt. Don't try that. There's a word called faith and a word called foolish. But people get so religious. Oh, you can do this and nothing, you know, you can eat anything. But Jesus said nothing, you know, you can eat some poison. Nothing will hurt you. You go eat some poison. And see if it won't hurt you. God, use common sense. But that's what church people do. Because they don't study the Word of God. Okay, I'm all right. Are you at 1 John? Look at what he said here to Christians. First of all, he was telling them about Jesus. You know, Jesus died for them and this and that. I want you to go all the way over to verse 19. This is talking about you. If you're a Christian, if you're not one, you can be one today. He said, they went out from us. You know, talking about people who claimed to be Christians and then they left. Antichrist. Let's start with verse 18, because they were dealing with a lot of false teachers back then. He said, little children, it is the last time, verse 18, and I'm almost done. It is the last time, and as you have learned, that Antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many Antichrists with the S on the end. See, people think it's one Antichrist. No, it's a lot of Antichrists. Whereby we know that it is the last time or last days he's talking about. Verse 19 says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Some people, you know, walk around telling you they're Christians. They never was a Christian. And then he says, but they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. I'll explain to you in another lesson. But what I want you to concentrate on is verse 20. It said, but you, talking about Christians, you have and what? Unction. That word unction means anointing. Look it up in Greek. It means anointing, which is a, and then you'll see a word called charisma, which means a special endowment from the Holy One. The Holy One. Okay? When you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when you receive salvation, you also receive the anointing by way of the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit travels, the anointing travels with it. Are y'all still with me? I can show you some more scriptures to prove that, but I don't have time today. Amen. I have time, but you don't have time. Because I can stay here and preach to you from 5 to 5 o'clock, but amen, I ain't going to do that. Y'all still with me? He said, but you have an unction, anointing, special endowment of the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, it's not saying you know everything, but what it's saying is that don't listen to these false teachers that's trying to teach you. I want you to go all the way down to verse number 26. After he finished talking to these Christians, he says, these things have I written to you concerning them that seduce you. Verse 27, he says, but the what? Anointing which you have received of him abideth where? In you. Why? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The anointing abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you. Now, it's not saying you can't be taught. Don't get that. I know nobody can teach me because I have that nothing. No. It's talking about false teachers. Don't listen to that mess. You need not that any man teach you, but as this, y'all read it? As the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Talking about in Jesus. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. You have the anointing because you have accepted the anointed one. Go ahead and stand to your feet. Christians, I'm here to tell you. I say it once and I say it again. Your success and my success in this life is based on who Jesus is to us as individuals. Who is he to us? Is he just Jesus? Is it the guy that just shows up doing church services? Or is he always Jesus? Is he just Mary's boy? The little baby that was born in the manger. And some people think he's still in the manger. He's not there. He's gone. Who is it to you? Because if I believe that Jesus Christ is the one who can give me strength, give me calmness, renew my strength, renew my energy, who can refresh me in time of trouble, who can replace my yoke with his yoke, who can replace my burden with his light burden. If I believe that, then whenever I go through a situation, trial in life, I'm going to go to Jesus. I told you earlier, the Bible told us, blessed is he that endureth temptation. You know how you endure temptation? The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, the same chapter. It says, let every man who's, oh, no. It says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this. The knowing this part is what you count joy. Not the temptation, because there's no joy in temptation. It didn't say, act like you're joyful when you're in temptation. It didn't say, act like the temptation does not exist. It says, count it joy. Because there's no joy in temptation. It says, count it knowing this. What's this? This is the part that you count joy. That the trying, testing, tempting of your faith worketh patience. See, when you're going through trials and tribulations, Satan attacking your mind because he's trying to separate you from your faith. Because without faith, we can't please God. Without faith, we have no life, because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. So the trying of my faith worketh patience. In other words, when I put my faith to work and I'm patient enough to wait on my deliverance from God. In other words, I'm going to continue to stand. After I've done all to stand, I'm going to continue standing, because I know God's word enough that I know he can't lie. I know Jesus ain't going to lie. So I have to be patient to wait on my deliverance, because the Bible says he is going to show us the way of escape so we can be able to bear the temptation. But I need to be patient. It's not going to happen like a microwave. You know, you put the chicken in the microwave, it's done in 5 minutes. It don't happen like that. Everything happens in God's timing. So when I'm putting my faith to work, I am enduring temptation. And as long as I continue to endure it, I'm going to overcome it by the grace of God, and I'm going to receive my reward. That's why I'm blessed, if I endure. But if I give in, I'm going back to Egypt. No. You can't go backwards. You got to move forward. I told a young man this week, I said, the past is a past for a reason. He looked at me, what? I said, because it's the past. It's gone. You can't bring it back. But you can move forward in Christ Jesus. Go to him. Doesn't matter the situation, the circumstance. Doesn't matter what it is. Come to Jesus, and he will refresh you. Take his yoke upon you and learn of him, and you will have rest in your souls, to include myself, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Amen. Somebody give God a hand praise, because he is worthy.